Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and happy Father's Day to you. This is the pre-celebration. Today's show has to be about Dad, right? The dad you know, or the dad you may have never known. Either way, all of us can relate to that part of dad that was hidden from us because he had to be our dad. Lots of dads are like that. At least if you're in your 50s, 40s, those of you with dads, had dads that grew up in a generation that taught the parent that the parent was the parent and that the parent had certain obligations and certain roles and that your dad, well, wasn't quite your friend. Some of you can relate especially. That part of dad that he never let you know. Tied into that is the cult of manhood. And manhood and dad have a lot to do with each other. Some of the harsher parts of our relationships with our fathers had to do with their version of manhood. Where they felt comfortable in their manhood, where they may have felt uncomfortable in their manhood. Either way, sometimes the children paid the price, boys and girls. Today, because I'm male, I may talk about it more in terms of how the boys paid the price, and many of the boys out there know what I'm talking about. When Dad blew his top, you had to duck. Of course, things have changed today. Today, if Dad blows his top, the neighbors call social services, and he has to explain himself, and that's really the way it is today. Good or bad, that's not the way it was when I was a kid. That's not the way it was when you were a kid. Many of us have strong opinions about those changes. At any rate, much of the way Dad acted had to do with how he was taught to act as a man. Now, what I want to do with today's show is turn that societal notion, that sociological, historical, theological notion of dad and manhood and the cult of manhood, I want to explore it with you from the standpoint of dad's physiology. There was a science that explained dad. You didn't look at it that way as a kid when you were ducking under the table, of course. But his liver, his gallbladder, his adrenal glands, his testosterone levels, his understanding of his own nervous system, all made dad who dad was. Of course, none of us had any sense of this, especially dad. How many dads went over the top? How many dads were abusive one way or the other? And by golly, had their adrenal glands or their gallbladders cut out? How many gallbladders are taken out each year today? Hundreds and thousands. Maybe this is news to you, not my regular listeners, but when you get your gallbladder taken out, your liver is going to overheat. So here's a correlation. You get that gallbladder taken out because you had a gallstone, because you just went into ER with a gallstone attack, and they figured that's the best thing to do, lest the gallbladder burst in some sort of septicemia. Develop. From that day on, your liver's going to run hot. I'm going to explain what a hot liver is. But a hot liver means a hot temper. And even a nice guy with a hot liver is going to blow a stack every now and then. And by the time dad is 40 or 50 with the pot belly and now the kids are really costing money, well, dad's a batter keg. But we didn't think about that when we were running out the door or ducking under the table. I didn't grow up with a particularly violent dad. I grew up in a very, very, very violent neighborhood, I think. I didn't grow up with a very violent dad, but he knew how to blow his top. And if you asked for trouble, he was going to give it to you. I wouldn't call my dad outrageously violent, not at all. But he was a product of his generation, and if you were out of line, you got the back of his hand, at least until you were big enough. And I think many of us can relate to what I'm saying today. All of this has a lot to do with tomorrow. Tomorrow's Father's Day. Whatever we give our fathers for Father's Day, a visit, a toolbox, whatever we give him, a new gun, whatever it is. Who was that man, and why did he act like he acted? Well, there's a science behind that. Of course, his sense of manhood, like ours, well, all you have to do is look at the movies or read the novels. Who is the hero? And all men really are heroes. They're heroes to their sons. They're heroes to their little girls. To have a father is to look at a child and hope that the child looks in the eye, at least through one phase of development, as my dad was my hero. Well, that's a male thing. He's not going to be heroic running around in a skirt or being afraid to shoot the bear when the bear comes to the settlement and tries to eat the kids. He's the warrior. His job is to show the masculine side. Hopefully appropriate to the situation, right? Dad fails at being masculine when he's aggressive inappropriately. So there has to be an appropriateness to that aggression. There won't be an appropriateness when the gallbladder's gone, when the liver's hot. The liver is the organ that allows the male to dispense with force, or power, I should say, with discretion. Power with discretion. The hero dispenses with power, but adds discretion to it. The appropriate use of force. Clint Eastwood. Now, there is an American hero. Every dad ideally has a little Clint Eastwood in him. Not looking for trouble, but ready to dispense with it if it comes his way. Not being a bully, but God help you if you cross the line. And that's kind of the advice many of us got. That's the advice I got. My father always told me, don't start trouble, but finish it. And when the neighbors banged on my door and wanted to talk to my father because they said, your son is too much of a maniac, the first thing my father would ask me is, did you start it? And I always told the truth. And when I didn't start it, I said, I didn't start it. And he would smile and tell the people to go away. They would see, would say, my son did not start the trouble. He finished it. And that was kind of the code. And I think it was a good code. It was the hero's code. Don't start it, but finish it. And I got that message as early as 4 years old. I grew up in a very violent neighborhood. We fought every single day into our teen years. And by the grace of God, by then, academics was so important. And by the time you're 16 or 17, you're starting to come to the age of reason. And you know that if you continue on that course, well, it's not just going to be fists anymore. It's going to go to other things. Of course, today it's sort of paradoxical, right? Some kids don't know what it is to get smacked, whether in school or at home. Social services is there. We have bully clubs. Perhaps that's good. I won't be the judge, but we have a paradoxical society because while that occurs, while some kids are homeschooled by mama till they're 16 or 18 years old, there are kids growing up in the hood who have to pack to survive their day in the classroom. Now, that's paradoxical. I didn't have to grow up with that. I went to Catholic school, grammar school. You fought on the way to school. You fought after school. You fought at lunchtime. Someone was always getting smacked. And if you weren't getting smacked by your fellow students, you were getting smacked by the nuns. And if you listen to my tone, I'm not really complaining. Honestly, against some of the things I see today, I think it was, well, I don't want to say healthy, but relatively speaking, it was healthy. Today's a mess. That was just an imbalance. And the media, the movies, were always there. you grew up with Sylvester Stallone or James Bond or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Bruce Willis or stars of the 30s and 40s. You were taught to be a man is to appropriate force with discretion. Now, the relationship to the liver. So let's discuss the liver. First of all, in the largest organ of the body, in the sense of just sheer bulk, is the liver. Yes, 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 the skin is a larger organ. Let's forget all that. We're talking about a big fat organ in the upper right quadrant of your abdomen. And throughout the entire expanse of this very thick, yin, blood-filled organ is a mass network of tiny passageways called the bile ducts. Not new to you if you've listened to the show before. And within that mass network of little biliary channels, we call them bile canaliculi, is the job of those ducts to remove all the toxins that the liver pulls out of the blood and dumps into the bile ducts, which all furrow on into the gallbladder, which squirts all the poison out of the body into the intestines and through the feces and out into the sewer system. That's the way it's supposed to go, except one problem. That liver gets stuck. Those bile ducts get clogged. And what that causes is an inflammatory process in the liver, the stage of fibrosis in the liver. Now, this isn't cirrhosis of the liver. This is something everybody's got. Everybody. After puberty, your liver is in varying stages of fibrosis and inflammation. We can back off the pathology and just call that aging, normal aging. Take out the liver of every 70-year-old American, male or female, today. Dissect that liver out, and you will see scar tissue in that organ. Now, how much scar tissue is the point? And generally, there's far more than there needs to be. And generally, as that scar tissue thickens over the decades, as those bile ducts congest over the decades, the liver overheats. It's just simple common sense. It's simple plumbing. It's plumbing 101. If the pipes are backed up, the toilet bowl overflows. That's not complicated. That's what happens to everyone. That's what happened to Dad. Worse yet, if that gallbladder's cut out, then forget it. Then it's fire off the charts. So the American male, the hero, your daddy, your daddy that was taught in the cult of manhood to dispense with force but with discretion in an appropriate way to the pride of the community, becomes imbalanced as that liver begins to scar, and that scarring starts early enough. If you look at the pictures, if you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, if you're driving, of course, just listen to the descriptions. But if you're on the website and you look at pictures of the liver, say picture 8. Stages of liver damage. Fatty liver. Some of you know what that is. Some of you don't. As the liver gets inflamed too chronically, long before it's fibrotic, long before it's cirrhotic, long before they tell you, the liver's enlarging. As it enlarges, finally, the liver builds fat into itself to neutralize the inflammation. Yeah, that's what it does. And you hear, off ultrasound, you've got a fatty liver. Usually this comes with a few other things, a little prediabetes, a little high blood pressure, maybe low thyroid. The liver is in an arc. It's in a pendulum of response to all the other things that are going on in your body. The liver is in reciprocity with your rage. So I'm going to dissect that sentence for you. You see, tomorrow you're going to look at Dad and wonder maybe why he never talked to you the way you wanted him to, why he was always pissed off, why he was inappropriate violent, why he always held it in until he exploded. Now you'll start seeing Dad.